Hey, yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Look, we are back for episode number 32. And man, this one is going to be a good one. I will tell you right off the bat, please forgive me if I get emotional, because this one really wrecked me in Bible study, man. But before we get into that, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Eventually, man, we want to try to do a live feed podcast where I can do this in video format. So that'll be in the play, man, coming up, pretty soon. Also releasing within the next week. I told you guys last time that I was working on a new website, working on the book, working on the new my new transformation coaching program. All those will be released within a week, man. I'm super excited and I'm super pumped. And I told you guys, look, for those of you who are looking to improve yourself doing personal development, self-development, whatever you want to call it, I have just opened the window for that, man. So I'm taking on new clients, those who have gotten the exclusive, the first releases, man. Look, if you want to message me on a private tip, I promise you I can put you in contact with these people, and I can you can see what has happened during the phase of transformation, the phase of coaching, man. We're seeing remarkable results, man. We're talking about strongholds broken, old roots being pulled out, forgiveness being displayed, people walking in love, experiencing truth. I'm on a whole nother level, man. God is doing some marvelous things with what He's enabled me to do. I even use the coaching on myself, man. It's phenomenal. So I'm always pressing myself to go beyond the mark, go past the mark. And so what I'm teaching there, I'm now going to be relaying here in bits and pieces within the podcast. And so, man, this is going to be a good one, man. It's going to be a good one. However, again, if you guys want to support the podcast, you guys know you can always make a donation through Cash App at $NoChainsOnMe with a Z. That's Cash App. That's $NoChainsOnMe with a Z. You can also give through anchor.fm/unchained. Then you can choose to give 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 as a monthly contribution. If you guys are looking to give more than that, look, man, I truly, truly appreciate you guys. But remember, email me at Keelan@NoChainsOnMe. That's chains with a Z. Keelan@NoChainsOnMe. If you want to do something else, or if you got a question or prayer request, you can email me there. That way we can discuss it privately, and I can go into prayer for you guys. I definitely want to be praying for anything that has come up, whether it's a health issue, mental issue, something that you want to change and transform in your life. I'm opening up the window just so I can pray for you guys. So I love you. All my dedicated listeners out there, all of you who are sharing the message, let me think. Look, I appreciate you guys so much, man. So my gratitude is through the roof, because I'm blessed to be able to do this. I'm blessed to be able to make the most out of my gift and do it in such a way that is unique, and do it in such a way that empowers, inspires, and encourages others to live their best life. So with that said, I just want to thank you guys. So I've been kind of lax on social media as well. If you guys notice, not a lot of posts, no songs being shared, none of that. But that's really because, man, behind the scenes, I've been working extremely hard on, recreating the business aspect and rebuilding and rebranding and adding new elements. Again, because like I said, I'm the only one that wears the hat, man. So all the responsibility falls on me. So if I want to be successful, in every way, shape, or form, I got to be the one to put in the work, man. So right now, I'm the one pushing my vehicle. So, like I said, man, within the next several days, you guys will get access to some great stuff. So forgive me if I end up blowing up social media. If you guys think I'm over flooding it, guess what? That might be a thing. I have so much content that I have not released, so that might be a thing. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Again, one of the biggest payments you can ever do for the Unchained Podcast is to share it with somebody who you believe needs this word, who you believe can benefit from this word. Don't shove it at anybody. Don't throw it at anybody. Like I said, man, if this podcast is a blessing to you, then please share it somewhere, on your Facebook or whatever. Because again, I just want this to fall, in the right ears. I wanted to change people. I want to make a difference in somebody's life, man. So that's why I do the podcast. So without further ado, I want to talk to you guys from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and chapter 15. So in Luke's Gospel, is going to be chapter 14, verses 25, I believe, through 28. 25 through 28. And then it's going to be also in the follow chapter in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. So I'm going to talk to you from those two. And, you know, I want to talk on the matter of the cost of true love. The cost of true love. That's what we're going to be discussing today. So I'm going to give you these few verses, and I pray that God does something magical, something life changing. With these verses, I truly hope that there is somebody who is listening where this is going to make a great difference, man. I truly hope so, because the way it got me in Bible study, I could not stop bawling. This word, it cuts so deep that it literally shifted something in me. So I want to be able to provide that for you guys. So I just pray that the Lord gives it to me the way that he gave it to me in spirit, because it is this is a truly powerful word. This is Luke's Gospel. Chapter 14, verses 25 through 28. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it?" Now he goes on with that illustration to further discuss counting the cost of being the disciple. So in the following chapter, Luke chapter 15, I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, "So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, will he joyfully carry it home on his shoulders? When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." So this past weekend, I was in Bible study, and if you know me and if you are close to me and you know how I get down with the word of God, then you know that sometimes I will run across a word, and when I run across a word, I will look that word up and I will look at it, I will study it, I will chew on it, and I will look up the meaning of it, and I will begin to let it unfold, which means I will let it marinate. I will let it sit. I will look at the word from every different angle, because I truly believe that, you know, if you read the Bible to be entertained, you lose a lot in the translation. If you read it as just a story, there is a strong possibility that it will not feed you. Okay. So when I was reading this word back in, Luke's like chapter 14, verse 26, it came at me in such a different way that I did not really understand why in this particular text, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation, that, for one, let's expose the pink elephant in the room. First of all, we're listening to, a God of love, Jesus in the flesh, who preached grace and mercy, was always about helping others, serving others. And here in this particular scripture, we hear him talk about hating siblings, wife, daughter, father, mother. We hear him use the word hate. So if we backtrack, verse 26, he says, if you want to be my disciple, he says, you must. That word must is a non-negotiable. You must. It is not up for debate. It is not something you can decide on later on. Tomorrow is not promised. The next moment is not guaranteed. You must. He says, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So real quick, I wanted to go back over that. And the word that jumped off the page at me is comparison. The phrase by comparison. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must. He says, by comparison, by comparison. All right. When you read the New Translation, it says by comparison. And that word comparison in, you know, in the Greek is, parabole. And if you read it in this particular text, it's a parable, which is to teach or using a teaching aid to cast alongside the truth being taught. Okay. So you have a situation that is being looked at in parallel to the truth. The parable is to cast additional light by using a resting or a familiar analogy. So sometimes it's fictitious, sometimes it's metaphorical, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. But what Jesus would do is that he would use something of, you know, something that people could relate to explain the truth of the kingdom, to explain his truths, to make it real and relevant and relevant, so it could connect with those who were listening and following. He would use these parables. But in this particular instance, he says, by comparison. Now, he is teaching on using this, you know, he's teaching using this particular precept or concept that your family, father, mother, wife, daughter, your family, he says, if you want to be my disciple, he says, by comparison, okay, by comparison, he says, hate them, okay, in comparison to me. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So when you look at the context of the word hating, you look at it in the Greek, you understand that it means to love less. It doesn't necessarily mean to hate. It means to love less. That's the way he was describing it. That's the way he was using it. He was saying the life that you live, the people in your life, you are to love them less than you love me. They should not hold rank over me. They should not hold rank over me. There is no way that you can call yourself my disciple if they take precedence over following me, if they take precedence over the things that I ask you to do. He says, look, if you do not hate them or even your own life, he says, even your own life, he says, you cannot be my disciple. He says, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Now, Jesus is making it very clear that there is a price to pay for following him. And so what brought my attention to chapter 15, it put a different spin on the text, because honestly, sometimes when I open the word of God, I let the Holy Spirit lead. I don't necessarily search for a word, but God will draw my attention to a specific text. But Jesus was making a claim. He says, look, if you're going to follow me, there's a price that you must pay. And as I began to think about what the cost was and what would the cost be. And look, that might be a simplistic answer for some of us who are already in church. That might be a simplistic answer for some of us who are familiar with the Bible. But for those who are not, for those who are trying to figure out what this Christian walk is all about, for those of us who are trying to get deeper, more grounded and more rooted with Jesus's teachings to understand what he's saying and what he meant, for those of us who want to press in a little bit deeper to figure out what the Lord is calling us to do, I turn to chapter 15, and then he says in verse 3, it says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So when I read that, it struck a chord with me. Not against God, but it struck a chord in a way that when Christ asked in the previous chapter, or when he made the statement, don't begin until you have considered the cost, until you have considered all it's going to cost you to follow me. Don't do it. Don't desire to be my disciple until you have considered all that you will lose by walking with me. Because he says there is a significant price to pay. So when I read chapter 15, when I read those scriptures in chapter 15, it dawned on me. Jesus spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and he says, "Keelan," he says, "do you know why I get so frustrated? Because I've made it plain that no matter where you are, I will leave the 99 to find you. No matter how far you fall, how hard you fall, no matter what trouble you get into, no matter where you go," he says, "I will leave the 99 to find you. No matter what you go through in life, I will leave the 99 to find you. No matter how bad you think the situation is, I will leave the 99 to find you. No matter what trouble you've gotten into, no matter whose feelings you hurt, no matter if you lied, if you stolen, if you cheated, no matter what you have done, I will leave the 99 to come find you, to bring you back in. Because I know that sometimes your mistakes will lead you further than you want to go. You get emotionally involved, and sometimes when you get too far into your emotions, I understand what it's like. Look, I know you better than you know you. I created you. Because I know that when you get to that point, it's hard to win you back. I will come get you. I will leave the 99 to come get you. This is how I feel for my lost sheep, the people who are roaming about the earth, who are living life with no passion, no direction, no unction, no anything. They're just existing. He said, "I'm leaving all those who are righteous and have not strayed away to go and call them home." He was making this point because the Pharisees were getting upset with Jesus because he sat with corrupt tax collectors and people who were notorious sinners, and he was eating with them, and it was bugging the religious people. But Jesus was like, he's like, "Keelan, don't you understand?" He's like, "I don't care how they view me. I love you more than the outside opinion. I love you more than what people are going to say about me." He says, "The cost of becoming my disciple," he says, "look, I paid the cost in full. I don't give myself in pieces. I knew it would take my life. I knew it would cost me blood. I knew it would cost me my life to come get you. I knew it. To go and get those who are lost, to go and get my sheep," he said, I knew what it would cost me. I considered the cost. I considered it. I understood it. I knew what I was created for." He says, "if the truth is going to have its way, it's going to take my life. So you must be willing to do the same thing. See, I left the 99 to come get you. You must be willing to leave the 99 to come to me. And if you're not willing to leave the 99, then how can you say that you're my disciple? If you're not willing to leave the 99, then how are you going to say that you love me? If you're not willing to say the 99, to leave the 99, how are you going to say that you're Christ-like? Are you willing to leave the 99? Your mother, your father, your daughter, your wife? Are you willing to leave them in order to serve me? Are you willing to leave them in order to follow my word, to know that there's a purpose greater for you to go and be my extension, to go and save the other ones who are lost? Are you willing to leave your version of the 99? Those family members who keep telling you that you're crazy. Those other opinions that you feel like you must cater to in order to have some sense of value or worth, this outside perspective that you think gives you meaning, that don't give you any meaning. I'm the one who birthed you. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one that gives you meaning.
Are you willing to leave the 99 for that? Are you willing to leave the 99 to be who I've called you to be? Kalen. He's like, yo, are you willing to leave everything that you deem valuable? All the things that you feel that give you worth and embody who I've called you to be? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that for me? Because I value mutualism. I value commitment. I value marriage. I value loyalty. I value honesty. I value these things so much so that I was willing to die for you. Are you willing to do the same for me? He says, this is the cost you must consider. Because again, I cannot guarantee you the world will accept you. As a matter of fact, he said, the world hated me first. So if you're really and truly living for me, expect to be hated. Expect to be dismissed, judged, ridiculed, because they won't understand. They can't. How could they? They value the 99. I value the one. We're polar opposites. I value the one. I value you. This is why I get so frustrated, because people say that they love me, and people say that they serve me, and people say they have given their lives to me. But when I look at their hearts, when I look at their minds, when I look at their actions, I can clearly see they haven't left the 99. When I search their hearts, I can see that they haven't left the 99. So how dare they say that they are my followers, or that they are connected to me? Now, I'm not being judgmental. God was not judging me during this Bible study. He was making sure that I would be willing to leave the 99, whatever it might be. Come on, let's be honest, because there are some of you who are listening. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, there are some things that you're holding on to that are taking the place of God. They are sitting on the throne of your heart instead of Christ. I know that because the effects of it is visual in your attitude, it's visual in your walk, it's visual in your home, it's visual in your relationships, it's visual how you handle your relationships. What you value most is what controls your thought life. It controls your actions. It controls where you plant your seeds. It controls how you give yourself. The giving of yourself shows what's on the throne of your heart. So God is saying, look, if you're going to be my disciple, you must carry your cross. You must let the truth win out in your life. The truth about you, it must outshine that of the world. It must. It must be a light sitting on a hill. It must be able to reflect who I am. It must show that there is a God in heaven. How you live should reflect me. Because if you're not operating in your gift, you're not reflecting me. If you're not operating with everything that I've bestowed upon you, you're not reflecting me. I've given you everything. And if everything that I've given you is not bearing fruit in your life, then there is something else sitting on the throne of your heart. So you must be able to accept you the way I've accepted you. Because the alternative is, when you don't accept you, when you don't accept what God has put in your heart, when you don't accept the life that God has called for you, everything else gets your attention. You stay with the 99 instead of going to the one who left the 99 for you. That is the cost that Christ is saying you must consider in order to follow him. That is the cost that he's saying you must be diligent in your work. You must be diligent upon those things. You must give yourself wholly and completely to the work of God. You must give yourself wholly and completely to his calling. Yes, it takes work. He's saying carry your cross. You have to die to yourself every single day. Crucify those thoughts that oppose him. Crucify the flesh that opposes him. Crucify those things that stand between you and him. You must. He says, there is no debating this thing. If you're going to follow me, you must. By comparison, the people in your life, the things in your life, compare it. How much time do you give the other people and the things in comparison to Christ? By comparison, what does your life look like? By comparison, what is holding rank over me? By comparison, who are you telling you love more than you love me? By comparison, where are the chips falling in your life? By comparison, what are you depressed over? What are you falling victim to? By comparison, come on. He says, compare. Compare. He says, you got to love them less more than you love me. Because they don't exist without me. I created them. And you cannot worship the creation more than the creator. The mission cannot replace the Messiah. Everything in your life has its own place, but it cannot be above me. He says, are you willing to leave the 99 for the one who left the 99? I can't. He says, there's no need for me to go and save those who are already saved. There's no need for me to go and save those who have not strayed away. There's no need for me to find them. They've already been found. They've already seen the light. Now, whether or not they choose to operate in the light is up to them. But those who don't know the real truth about me, you need to go show them. You need to go tell them the truth about me. You must. Because when you learn the truth about me, it reveals the truth about you. And when you learn the truth about you, you then see the truth about others. That's how this works. Connect with me. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you need God in your life, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know who you are, connect with God. Learn the truth about Christ and what he did for you on the cross. The work of salvation, the shedding of his blood for the remission of your sins. Go and learn that. Why he did it. The love story. Love you so much that he gave his own life. And no matter where you are, he'll come find you. God created a plan to reconcile you to himself so that you would not be consumed by the world. And with the work that he did on the cross, everything he did was already placed inside of you so that you could be set apart from the world and that you should operate in your gift, because it's what separates you from the rest. Because by you operating in that gift, it then shows the glory of God. The fact that you embody such gifts, it shows the glory of God. So the cost of real love, it's about sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to commit? If leaving everything means you gain everything, are you willing to take the challenge? That's the cost. It's to leave it all. To get it all. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. I promise y'all, there's nothing you're holding on to that is more valuable than what you're going to gain. And I'm talking from experience. I'm talking from the real work that God is doing in my heart as we speak. He challenged me. Keelan, forget all of what you think is valuable. Forget it. People's opinions, their thoughts, the accolades. Just press into me, son. Leave them all. Leave it all. No matter what they think, no matter how they view you, chase me no matter what. No matter what. That's the cost, y'all. And I'm sorry if y'all are expecting longer, but short, sweet, and to the point, man. So, again, episode 32. The cost of real love. Man, let that sink in. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 to 28. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Look, man, study that. Let it sink in. I pray that this word did something for y'all. Oops, sorry. My watch is talking. I love y'all. Peace.